I want you to give me a D. All toes, I want you to do a third above that. Give me your sharp. And sopranos, give me an A. Let me have Sisalma play it one time so we all know what we're going to do, and we'll go from there. Sister, will you give me those notes, please? Okay, on three. One, two, three.
All right. I think that we've all been, maybe not at something quite so drastic, but we can all think of a time when you've watched a performance, maybe a children's performance or a dance routine or a marching band, and they're just not quite in sync. We don't have to be experts in the field to see that that wasn't quite like it was supposed to be, right? I want us to take a minute and watch, though, the next part of this and see how Sister Mary Clarence deals with the situation. What we're talking about this morning. We're not actually talking about this movie, but it fit in so well with what we are talking about. You know that we've been studying Romans, and we are nearing the end. We are now in Romans 15, and today we're going to be learning about the makings of a harmonious choir. I'm not a music teacher, and you're not going to be singing as such today, so fear not, okay? Just put us all at ease. But this is the point that Paul has been working towards as he's been writing all throughout Romans. He's talking about the creation of the beautiful choir. And it's what all through time God's story has also been leading to. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's first think back to where we were just a couple weeks ago. We had a guest speaker last week, so we weren't in Romans last week. But if you think with me back to Romans 14, in Romans 14, we were looking at a couple things that help us as a body. In disputable matters, in Romans 14, it talked about the first half was, do not judge each other. The second half was talking about, don't cause each other to stumble. And that's where we're picking up today. Romans 15, 1 to 13, if you'd like to follow along, that's where I'll be reading, and that's what we'll be looking at today. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can hear it even as it's read, how it's Paul is drawing it all to this final point that he's been working towards. Well, let's break it down and look at it a little bit. And then we're going to come back to that point. In 14, when we reviewed, it was looking at the things we shouldn't do. Don't judge, don't cause others to stumble. Here, though it's still following the same theme, we've now switched to the positive. Bear with the failings of the weak. In my terminology, the way I would use that word, not necessarily what he's saying here, but, oh yeah, I can bear with it. It's almost like I can put up with it if I use it in my everyday language. That's how I use that term. But if we look at how it's used in this passage, that's not what's being said. It's far more than just tolerating and putting up with one another. Because as we look at verse 1 and 2, we see that here he says, not only bear with the failings of the weak, but not to please yourselves, please them. Each of you should please his neighbor for his good and build him up. Whoa, it just got a lot harder, didn't it? I mean, it was easy to say, well, maybe not easy, but okay, I can not judge. I can try to not cause others to stumble. And I can even bear with them. I can put up with the weak. But all of a sudden, we've just upped the ante. We're supposed to be pleasing our neighbor for their good, and building them up. Did you also notice the change in who we're dealing with? I don't know if you remember, but in chapter 14, we were dealing with your brother. And now, all of a sudden, that noun of who we're dealing with has changed. What did it change to?
Neighbors.
Neighbors. Slightly broader, isn't it? In fact, a lot broader. If we think about, think about the story when they ask Jesus, who is my neighbor? How broad did Jesus put it? Right? I mean, Jesus' response was a storytelling of the story of the Good Samaritan and how broad that got. Neighbor all of a sudden became, well, everyone you encounter. as I understand it. So now all of a sudden we're told to please men for his good and build him up, and it's all men that we encounter. This is getting mighty big. But wait a minute, please man. Well, that sounds very contradictory. Isn't being a people pleaser really actually a negative thing? I mean, so why is it saying that here? Do you think God wants us to just go around and pleasing everyone? That wouldn't fit with what I understand the rest of Scripture to say. So we again have to look at it in its greater context. This is pleasing man as opposed to pleasing self, not pleasing man as opposed to pleasing God. Very important to keep that in mind as we look at the rest of this. In fact, we can see that in verse 3, because even Jesus, it goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, for even Christ did not please himself, there it is, he's being our model, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Now, if he was being a people pleaser as such, then there would be no insults falling upon him. But Jesus didn't please himself. He was pleasing God for the sake of man. And that needs to be our model. And we're going to break that down a little bit more, but we're not pleasing others for the sake of pleasing them. We're pleasing others for the sake of bringing glory to God. And you know what? Jesus, who was perfect, look at that verse. Again, the insults of those who have fallen on you have fallen on me. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus, who was perfect, still had people insult him when he did this. And he did it perfectly. When I was reading these verses and thinking about it, the first thing that came to my mind was actually Philippians 2. And I was actually surprised. Why didn't it say he didn't please himself, but he gave himself even to the point of death and death on a cross? And remember the passage in Philippians 2? And I was slightly surprised at why that wasn't more the theme here, why that wasn't kind of the look that we took at it. But I thought about it more, and I think it's showing how difficult it is. And that it's really about pleasing Jesus and just looking at it from that angle more. Well, if it was hard for Jesus, it might be hard for us. I don't think that, even though this passage seems very straightforward, and it seems actually that the concepts, you might find yourself sitting here today going, yeah, of course. Isn't she going to say anything I haven't heard before? Maybe not. I don't know. We're going to be looking at this a little bit more. But the question is, as you're listening today, and as the Lord is the one speaking today, not me, it's not easy. So what is he asking us to do, and how is he going to help us to do this, to live it out? You see, it's not easy because we live in a world where it's all about strength and status and raising to the top. The world has kind of this pyramid structure, and we're kind of struggling to reach the top, right? And the stronger you become, the higher status. And the way you do that is by getting more and more people below you. And in the world perspective of this, a lot of times it actually means almost stepping on heads to get there. And as we look at this a little bit more, we're going to see, and as you think about the gospel message of Jesus and why he came and how he behaved, it's turning things upside down. All of a sudden, that has, Adam, would you help me and just flip through? Thanks. That pyramid, and we'll see it in just a minute, turns upside down. Jesus is saying, and God is saying in this passage, that we are given strength not for status, but for service. Hit it one more time and our triangle will flip upside down. Are you here? All right. God has an upside down view. This is an upside down kingdom compared to what we're used to. Our world says it's all about your rights. Right? It's my right to do that. It's my right to do this. It's my right to do that. And as long as my rights don't infringe on your rights, it's still okay. Now, as Christians, I've heard us say that, as long as my rights don't infringe on anyone else's or hurt someone else, then it's still okay. And I would say that this passage challenges even that thought.
Amen.
It challenges even that thought because, well, let's look at it. It says, for everything was written, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. So it's saying we can have the teachings, the teaching of the scripture, and we'll go to the next slide, that we can find lessons and encouragement in scripture. That's one of the ways of saying it right here. So let's look at that. In the Old Testament and all throughout, the New Testament as well, but when he's saying the scriptures here, the only scriptures that would have existed at that point that he would be referring to his original audience would have been Old Testament. Then if he's saying even the Old Testament teachings can give us, are good for our teachings and our encouragement. So if we think, okay, in the context of what we're looking at, not pleasing ourselves, but rather pleasing man in order to bring glory to God, what does that look like? Well, if we look at Old Testament verses, we know that there's verses where it says that we need to take care of the widows and the orphans, the fatherless, the foreigner. We need to be looking out for one another. That's in the Old Testament as well as the New. We can also see examples again and again of people giving up their rights throughout the Old Testament. Think with me for a minute about a couple of these characters. Abraham and Lot. Remember as they were going into a new land, and Abraham, who was, Lot was his nephew. So who in that culture would have had the greater status, the right to choose the land? Abraham. You remember this story? He says, though, instead, they have to split because they're too big. They need to pick different lands. And he chooses, this is Genesis 13, he says, Lot, you choose the land. He gave up his right to choosing the land first. Another example would be Moses. And Moses, as you know, is brought up in Pharaoh's home because of a variety of circumstances. And Hebrews 11, when it's going back and referring to the story of Moses, it tells us that he gave up his right to instead suffer with the Israelites. He turned away from and walked away from living in a palace and having the rights of royalty to suffer with the Israelites for a time. Or Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the next in line to be king. And he gave up his right so that David could be king. These were their rights. It was their right to choose the land. It was his right to grow up in the palace. It was the right to become the next king. And they gave them up. The verses tell us also in the next verses, it says, may the God who gives endurance, Romans 15, verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that you have one heart and one mouth to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. So here we can see that we can look again also at the model of Jesus. Said it twice now. We have the model of Jesus to look at. We just looked at some Old Testament things. We can also draw encouragement and that perseverance, that will to keep on as we look at the model that Jesus gave us. I already told you Jesus received insults for what he did, and we know that. We know that it was obviously to the point of death and death on the cross. But how about his giving up of his rights beyond that or in other ways? Have you thought about the fact that Jesus gave up his right not only to be king and God living in the heavens and come to earth, but he gave up his rights and suspended himself to the customs of the people he was coming to? Some of the examples of that might have been circumcision or baptism. Remember when he went to John the Baptist and he said, and John the Baptist said, whoa, you don't need to do this. And he said, I need to. He was choosing to give up his rights, his liberties, to even fit the customs of the people. Not just the right to be living in the heavens and coming to earth, but also to submit himself to certain customs of the people. Interestingly enough, though, again, remember I said it's not all about just pleasing people? It's having the wisdom of how and when. It's not easy, because ultimately it's about pleasing people in a way that glorifies God. Jesus, when he came to earth, he came and subjected himself, he put himself under, he gave up his liberties and his rights to come in and be among the people, to live among the Israelites of that day and in the way that they did, and ultimately for their salvation. Okay, and so as we are also trying to figure out, okay, I'm looking at God's model, how do I live out? Okay, so ultimately our goal is to bring God, glory to God by helping others find salvation. Got that. Okay, and so he puts himself under the customs. Okay, I can take my shoes off at the door when I enter a Macedonian's home. Okay, I can do this. I got this. Let's look a little bit deeper at Jesus. Because it's not all about pleasing the man or pleasing people. It's not about making them feel comfortable with where they are, but he does this. Okay, so we got to look deeper at who Jesus is. Remember, how many times can you think of the stories where he perhaps wasn't doing that? Let's think about the Sabbath. Luke 15, on the Sabbath, he was with some people, some Pharisees, and they said there was among them a man that was at an ailment, and they actually challenged him. What are you going to do about that, Jesus? Okay. And Jesus says, well, what do you do if you're off? He goes on. Anyways, he heals the man. Well, wait a minute. I thought this was about pleasing man to bring glory, so why did Jesus not just submit to the ways of the Sabbath? That would have been submitting to the customs. You see, I think that's where that piece of the building them up might come into play. Now, this is a very interesting dilemma that we're facing, because how do we as humans figure this out? Right? We don't have God's divine mind to be able to see all this. But Jesus, even himself, did not always just simply defer. At times, he did things to challenge their thinking, to build them up, to give them, for example, for the Sabbath, to help them better understand what the Sabbath was really about. But he did it out of love, the glory of God, to build them up, to challenge their thinking, to help bring maturity among them. He did not always. There was another time he didn't always challenge people up. Think about Matthew 17, when he was asked about taxes. So he said, Peter, go fish. In the mouth of the fish, you're going to find a coin. Pay the taxes for you and I. He didn't even deal with the taxes issue. So sometimes he put himself under. Sometimes he chose to challenge it in order to build people up. And other times, in fact, if you're already starting to go, now how are we going to know when we please and when we build up and how do we build up in the right way? Do you know even Jesus says this? He says, like, how am I going to figure this out? There's no way to please you. In Matthew 11, 18 and 19, or Luke 7, 33 and 34, you encounter the story where he's caused kind of a uproar and a dissonance among the people, and they're saying, he turns to him and says, look, you were upset with John the Baptist because he followed this strict diet and he didn't do these things. And now here I am, and I'm eating these things and I'm drinking with you, and you're saying I'm wrong too. There is no way to please you people. Have you ever felt that way? I bet we all can relate to that. We're like, oh yeah, yeah. That's how I feel all the time. There's no way to please these people. There's no way to please people. Because even all the time, because even God, doing God's work, couldn't please people all the time. But he sought to serve them and build them up to ultimately bring salvation. And as we're faced with those dilemmas, we have to go through those questions of, can I serve them in a way that pleases them and builds them up, not perpetuating their weakness, and yet serving them? Is this a time to just bow and serve? Is this a time to bow and serve and also build them up and talk to them about the way it is? See, the questions begin to roll, and how do we face each situation? And all amongst this, I have to make sure I'm not doing it with a spirit of judgment,
or in something that would cause them to stumble and not bring them ultimately to the glory, closer to God. It's getting harder and harder. Many of us are living out of our home culture. You've chosen already to give up some of your rights to follow God where He's led you. Those of you that are still living in your home culture, you've chosen to give up some of your rights because you're doing something that's not fitting to the culture right now. This is not what the common culture does. When we choose to follow Christ, we're already beginning to choose to do things that are counterculture. And yet, here He's saying, please your neighbor and build them up to my glory. So we look at the verses. So we've looked at the Old Testament examples. We've looked at Christ. Let's look a little more at Christ. Why did Christ choose to do this? And we know He ultimately did it for salvation. But He also, in doing so, broke down so many of those walls. As we learn to walk like Him and serve others to bring glory to Christ, to give up some of our rights, whether it's between us or between our neighbors, we can do the same. Jesus Himself. It says that He came when He came. He came in such a way. Let me see if we can find those verses. We're looking at verses 7, 8, 9. He came in such a way that He came to serve the Jews. He came in a way that fulfilled their promises, the prophecies. He came in a way that fit their culture. He came in that way. And in doing so, He also made a way for the Gentiles, the outsiders, to come to Him. Why? Because God is a God of love, and He's a God that loves the whole world. For God so loved the world. The world. All of it. We can say Jews and Gentiles. We can say insiders and outsiders. We can say all of the nations, like our song said. God came because He loved the whole world, and that's part of the bigger picture. And He made a way for the Jews who were self-righteous and the Gentiles who were lawless to both find salvation through grace. And as you think back through Romans, what we've been studying, that's what that whole thing is leading up to. We all are sinners. Gentiles, Jews, we're all sinners. And it's not through our self-righteousness, it's not through the lawness of the Gentiles, it's not through our own rights, it's through God's grace that we come. And so God and Jesus put that playing field even. But the story of the bringing and the plan of bringing people together in unity didn't start there. It started at the beginning. When God created the world, and He blessed Abraham to bless the nations. The verses that are quoted in the end of this section that we read today, there are four different verses quoted. Those are all Old Testament. They're from 2 Samuel, they're from Isaiah, Psalms, Deuteronomy, and they're all talking about Gentiles and Jews being together. It was part of the plan all along to bring unity. Why does that matter? Because as we seek to follow God, it's all about unity. We're giving up our rights to bring unity. How can we do it? With the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 talks about the Holy Spirit. There's also hope in knowing we can do it because we know what the end is. We can do it because we can see encouragement in the Scripture. We can look forward and see the hope of the Scripture. And therefore, we can work with what we've got. Now, we are much like that choir we saw at the very beginning. Let me back us up to that movie. Here, we're going to tie it back in. If you haven't been tying this in your mind already, we sound a bit like that choir. Now, maybe we're like that first split, the first one. Maybe we're a bit more like that second one. I don't know. We're imperfect. We are an imperfect choir. And these scriptures talk about, in the end, it's talking about being a choir and singing, the Gentiles and the Jews, singing in unity before God. And our lives need to be singing in unity to bring glory to God as we come together, as we give up our rights to build unity, to build love, to create and come before God as one choir and one body. But because we're imperfect, we're going to still sound a little bit like that. But just because we start there doesn't mean we have to stay there. Sister Mary Clarence was building each other up. Did you see how she did it? She did it in love. She encouraged. She found the strength. She drew out the strength. She wasn't seeking this only for herself. She could have said, never mind, sit down. I'm going to sing a solo. It'll sound much better. Sometimes we feel that way with our Christian brothers and sisters, don't we? If you just sit down, I can do this. I can sing a solo a little better than we can sing together. But rather, God is saying, give up your rights. Build each other up. Let's be a beautiful song together. Find the strength. They were not all singing the same part, and we shouldn't be singing the same part. In music, there are different parts. There are different beauties that we each have. And as we find those strengths, we draw them out. We build each other up. We're going to create a beautiful song. That song is for the glory of God. All of creation is coming to this point of us being able to sing in unity before God. All of Romans is talking to us about this. How do we do it? We all are sinners. We are all imperfect. God, by his grace, has made a way to come together. Now, we need to come together. We need to build each other up so that we can be the beautiful choir before him he wants us to be. That takes work. It is not easy. It is not easy for this group in this room, for us to be a body. It is not easy for us to do it with our neighbors, but as we do it to each other, as we become united and begin singing a beautiful song together, it's noticed. Because our world is about my rights. And the Lord is asking us to live an upside down world, to live in unity and love, to sing a beautiful song together, and it's noticed by the world. Because the world doesn't know how to do unity. And God has taught us how. And so may we be a body that figures out how to do this. May we learn how to sing those parts together and lift each other up, get each other in the right parts, encourage each other, so that we can be living in hope, living in unity, to find that beautiful song to sing before God. That's going to take hard work. We need to pray for unity. Throughout the scriptures, it says pray for unity. Jesus prayed for unity of his disciples. They'll know you are my followers by your love. And then we need to praise God for the things that do unite us. And focus on this. And when we do this, hopefully, we ultimately can sound a little like this. We've got one more clip. But I'm going to read it from the message. Those of us who are strong and able in faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the scripture puts it. Even if it was written in scripture long ago, it can still be written for us. It is sure to be written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert of whatever he will do next. May our dependably, steady, and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so you may get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony and a stunning anthem to God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another in God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. And this one, outsiders and insiders rejoice together. And again, people of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give hearty praise. In Isaiah's words, there's the root of our ancestor Jesse breaking through the earth and growing a tall tree, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and to take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope.
Amen.
Stand and sing together. How great is our God?
Mountain as
Please, have a seat. Let us pray. Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, we bless you, our Father God in heaven. We thank you for living and dying for us. And through the power of your resurrection, we not only have an eternal life, but an abundant life here on earth. I pray, Lord, that you bless the fathers in this room. May they be a godly reflection in their families and their communities. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy of your presence. We thank you that it's not conditional to our circumstances we face in life, but your presence. So come, Holy Spirit. Let us experience your power and your presence in our lives. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. We need you, Jesus. We acknowledge our dependency, upon you. And we confess and repent of our rebellion when we try to accomplish life without you. I would like a moment of reflection. So we invite God, the Holy Spirit, to convict us, to show us, to lead us, to guide us. Please forgive us when we put ourselves before our neighbor. Let us choose this day not only to accept our brothers, sisters, and neighbors, but choose to build them up. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to serve and not be served. And through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, that we may have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had. So that with one mind and one voice we may glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to accept each other, just as you accept us. Let us sing from the same hymn book in harmony. Let it be a beautiful sound. Wash us in your blood, dear Father, that we may be clean. And I pray that God of all hope, fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The basket will
come around for the tithes and offering during this next song. If you're a visitor, please let the basket pass you by. We don't want your money. The Lord wants your heart. And if you're a regular here, please give generously. Amen.
Son of God.